courage doesn't mean that you don't feel the fear. You still feel the fear. You still feel the things, but it's moving forward with it anyway. And that really makes a big difference.
Welcome to the One Person Business Podcast, the show for solopreneurs, consultants, and contractors who are ready to take charge of their business and reclaim their freedom. Join us as we bring you inspiring stories, invaluable insights, and practical strategies from successful solopreneurs and industry experts, empowering you to create a thriving business that aligns with your unique goals and allows you to live life on your own terms. Here are your hosts, Joe Randall and Carly Reese.
Welcome to the One Person Business Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Carly Reese.
And I'm Joe Rando.
And Joe, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for today's conversation because I feel like we're talking about something that so many people have a problem with when they're running their own business. And that's just that little voice in their head that tells them they can't do something, or what a lot of people refer to as imposter syndrome. I know that I'm a victim to that. And that little voice, when you don't have that team of cheerleaders that you're used to having when you're in a bigger company, it can really get to you and it can really prevent you from reaching your full potential, which is why I'm so excited to have Alicia Berberich on today. She helps you overcome that negative voice in your head so that you can live your best life, and she dedicates her life to doing that. So I just cannot wait to dive in. Alicia, we're so excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, okay. Forgive me for jumping right into it. I'm just so intrigued by this topic because I know I have suffered from it personally so extensively as a one-person business owner. But why is imposter syndrome so prevalent? And I mean, where does that negative voice in our heads even come from?
Well, the negative voice in your head comes from when you're very young and people are trying to protect you, and you hear someone say something like, don't walk across the street. I mean, that's really good advice for a five-year-old or a four-year-old. And so then they think, oh, okay, don't walk across the street. And then they see other people walking across the street and they say, oh, they're walking across the street. Why can't I walk across the street? And then they think, oh, I'm not good enough to cross the street, but they're good enough to cross the street. And then it becomes refined down even more to, oh, I'm not good enough. And then it becomes generalized into I'm not good enough, not even about crossing the street, but all sorts of other things. And it gets spread over different things. And it's just messages that we've internalized when we were young. And that takes over in the head, in our heads.
Do you find that a lot of people experience others doing this on purpose to them, you know, to keep you down? I mean, it seems to me that that's a thing that I experienced in my life when I was younger, people trying to, you know, get above you, pecking order kinds of things, you know, in middle school and high school and that kind of thing.
Joe, are you trying to tell me that you were bullied?
I was, actually.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to learn stuff in school, and that wasn't a popular position.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard because people who feel inadequate express themselves by trying to put other people down when they're really trying to overcome their own negative self-image. So they do that by putting other people down. And that's really hard. I think the thing that's really important is when we, like now as adults, when we start hearing this negative voice in our head, is learning how to get control over that. And I have two different things. Is one thing is something that I learned from Marie Forleo. And she said, you know, when we're so focused on what's happening inside of us, we're focusing the flashlight on the inside of us. And if we just turn the flashlight around and focus on outside and how we can be of service to others, we can overcome that. But then also when you're on your own and that negative voice in your head is really taking over, trying to learn that that is just that voice in your head. It's separate from you. It's not who you are. It's a message that you've taken over in your head, like they say, it's your mind is a part of you. It's not who you are. It's your mind. So that's talking to you. So creating that separation is really important. And then realizing that was originally there to try to take care of you, and it's defending you, but it's defending an old image of you. So acknowledging the voice as one, separating from the voice, having awareness, and then acknowledging it that, oh, I know you're there. I know you're just trying to help me in terms of appreciating it, but turning it down, because now as adults, we can make different kinds of decisions and we can think about things differently. So separating yourself from that voice in your head and then taking the action, turning the flashlight the other way, taking action and stepping into courage really helps change the whole dialogue that's going inside your head. And I just like to say, you know, like courage doesn't mean that you don't feel the fear. You still feel the fear. You still feel the things, but it's moving forward with it anyway. And that really makes a big difference. It builds your self-confidence. Like when you do hard things, it builds your self-confidence so you feel better. Joe, did that answer your question?
It surely did. And it's, you know, it's kind of ties right back to my life experience. You know, I hated public speaking and had to give a speech at one point or a talk in front of a bunch of executives. And one guy ripped me apart for 3 hours. And after that, nothing was ever hard again. You know, yeah. I can get up and do an impromptu. I actually won a moth storytelling story slam without even having a prepared story. And this is the person that used to be afraid of public speaking, even when I was prepared. But having that horrible experience was like, nothing will ever be worse. So yeah. I got this. You're right on.
Well, and this may be a naive question, but kind of just something that I've perceived. And maybe it's a front, I don't know. But imposter syndrome seems to affect women more than men, from what I've seen. And again, it could be a front. And like we've said, Joe, you have it. I'm not saying men can't have it. But is that accurate? And if so, like, why would that be the case?
Yeah, it does impact women more. And at 75% of the women have, you know, in studies have claimed to be dealing with imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome really started out as the imposter phenomenon that was talked about in some psychology research from late 1970s. And when you think about it, women at that time were just beginning to reach positions of authority. We've been, you know, we were homemakers before that, and we could have jobs like teaching or nursing or something along those lines. And as we started getting more positions of authority, when we're growing up and we look at other people who are in positions of authority, it was usually men. And when you think about grammar school and you would have someone running for public office, it was the boys who would have the public offices. And we're used to seeing boys or men in those positions of authority. And then when you're a woman and you suddenly are getting these positions of authority and are recognizing, then you're feeling like, well, why me? Why me? And then you get that feeling of not being good enough. And I think also men have been more in competitive sports. I mean, Title IX came out in 1979. And before that, women weren't playing in competitive sports like that, recognized in college as much. And so when men are playing in sports, they're used to, you know, really fighting it to win. And then, you know, with their competition, like then they can be best friends afterwards and play together, do whatever they're going to do together. And they don't harbor that resentment. It's something that's on the playing field, but then it's not in real life. But women never learn that skill of competing and then still being together. And I think by being in these positions of authority, they've had to compete against other people along the way. And then they don't have any network of support system there to help them once they get into that position of authority. And I think for women, it's been fighting that lone battle. And then when they finally get there and are recognized, then they feel like, well, I'm not good enough. It's why me? It doesn't necessarily be me. And they don't have any way to build the confidence side of it. So I think if women can harness the power of being able to work together and helping each other and supporting them when they get to that position. And really, I think the biggest thing is the feeling of shame. And once you can talk about it and say, and have a support network where you can say, you're like, I feel like I'm not good enough. Then you're like letting the boogie guy out of the closet, the thing that's haunting you in your head. And once you can talk about it and shed some light on it, it sort of dissipates. But we haven't really reached the point where we can talk about it so much because we don't want to admit to anyone that we're feeling this sense of inadequacy, sense that I'm not good enough. So just being able to talk about it and addressing it really helps move things forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And well, I'm so glad you started talking about solutions to combating it. I think we can all agree at this point, imposter syndrome is something that everybody, or not everybody, but many, many people experience. You're not alone. And so can we dive into some of those other concrete ways that solopreneurs can combat imposter syndrome?
Yeah. So the one way that I mentioned is just being able to talk about it and have, you know, other people that you can talk to who can say, you know, how can you even be feeling imposter syndrome? Look at all of the things that you've accomplished and realizing that. And then also have like keeping a file of things where you've done really well and where you've succeeded. But I think mostly it's like the reason why you're feeling it is you're inside your head and it's grinding away inside your head. But by, again, the Marie Forleo system of turning the flashlight away from you and onto others, and that you're doing things in service of others and working to help build a bigger community, looking at outside really helps take the focus away from what's going on inside your head, turning that down and moving forward with courage. Stepping into action is really helpful.
Yep. No, I love that advice. And this, the next question I had, this, and I talked to you offline before the show that this is something we've never actually talked about on any of our podcasts. Sometimes we repeat topics just with different takes and everything. But you are big on manifestation. And I'm curious, for those of people that don't know, what is that exactly? And how can it tie into this whole topic of that tiny voice in your head?
Yeah, the tiny voice in your head is a really big part of manifesting. And manifesting, you know, it sounds like so woo-woo, and I'm like the least woo-woo person you would ever meet, I'm pretty sure. But manifesting is just aligning that your energy with the energy of the universe, so like you're working in sync. So it's how it started is I've been teaching workshops for a long time on goal setting and how to achieve your goals. And then I noticed that, you know, people, you know, you read all the statistics. By February, people have, like, they set their goals for the new year. By February, they've forgotten what they're about. So I was trying to think, how can I get my people to stay on track with their goals and follow through with it? And then this whole thing about manifesting came up. And it's just a way to, like, once you've got your goal set, it's just a way to keep it on track and follow through with it. So it's just a system that you do that keeps your energy aligned with what it is you desire. So if you say, for instance, you if you're like have a small business and you're trying to get clients and your goal is to have 10 clients, you know, by the end of the year, having a process where you can embody the feeling of having those clients. So you're thinking about, oh, when I have these 10 clients, this is how I'm going to feel, and bringing that feeling into your body really helps you to be in the energy of having it. Because if you're in the energy of negativity and like, oh, I don't have any clients and I want clients, then you're thinking about all the negative things, and that's creating a wall, a different kind of energy. You want to have the energy of what you want to achieve, and as opposed to the energy of what you don't have. So focusing on what you want and staying in positive energy on that to bring it in, because then when you're meeting with prospects and they have this sense of you need them and want them, like if you ever talk to someone who's in financial services and they really want to sell you this stock and they're really pushing it at you and you can just feel their desperation and energy, it pushes you away from them. But instead, if you're making an offer that's you're open and saying this is available for you and, you know, it's exciting, they come to you with a different energy. So thinking about this energy management is really important. And that's really what manifesting is about, the energy, using your energy in a positive way to think about how, like I always talk about being of service to other people, because for me, that's so important. But this is something that I have that I'm offering you that can really help you to move forward. And, you know, this is how we do it. So
what exactly does it look like? You kind of talked about your process and feeling that energy, but for newbies, like, What does that mean, getting up in the morning and before you start your day, like meditating and thinking through? I mean, where can people start if they want to start embodying this energy?
Yeah. Okay. So I have a real process that I take people through that's pretty concrete. So the way you start out is having this clear vision of what it is you want, like the goal that you're trying to manifest, really having a clear vision and really feeling that in your body, like how you want to be when it is. So harnessing the power of your vision. And that's like, I use an acronym for manifesting that's destiny. And so it starts with your desire, what it is your desire or your destination, what you want to achieve. And then using the energy that's available, bringing the energy into your body, just like breathing it in and feeling that, which usually should feel really great for you, because if, you know, if you're desiring having 10 clients and then you're breathing in having the 10 clients. That's really great. And then the S part is the saboteur. And that's where that negative voice in your head comes in. And that's really what keeps you from achieving the desires you want. You have these saboteurs, and it could be the internal one, which is the negative voice in your head, which is what I really work hard on getting people to overcome. But there's also external saboteurs, like your environment. Like if your environment is cluttered and there's a lot of stuff going on, you don't have the clarity to see what you want. So your environment, or it could be friends and family. They're used to seeing you one way, and that might not be the way you want to be seen, what you're trying to manifest. So I'm sure you've heard many people come on and say, you know, you're the sum of the five people you hang around with. Well, that's because you're taking on their energy. And if you want to shift and become something different, you need to change your energy and bring your energy into something that you're trying to manifest. So hanging around people who are also trying to do bigger things and step into their higher selves. So aligning your energy with the right kind of energy. So that's the S, the saboteur part. And then the T of the destiny stands for giving thanks and being in gratitude for what you have. The more you can feel grateful for what you have, and even the things that you don't have, like, I'm so grateful that I have these 10 clients because they're enabling me to be of service to them. So gratitude statements, I think, are really important. I look at it as a two-pronged system. It's like using the present tense for your gratitude statement. Whatever you're trying to manifest, using that in present tense, like you've already achieved it. For instance, for the 10 clients, for example, like I'm so grateful that I have these 10 clients because that's the second part. Because why are you grateful? Why is that important to you? Because now I'm able to really thrive and my business can grow and I can be of service to the more people in the world, looking at it in a bigger way. So that's the thanks part. And then the really important part that they didn't talk about so much, people that learned originally a lot about manifesting from the movie The Secret. But one thing that The Secret didn't reveal, which is the real secret, is that the important part is to take inspired action. So like when you have a goal, it's not just about thinking about it. You need to think about it and you have to be harnessing the energy of that. But you have to take inspired actions to that steps. So the more you take inspired actions and move forward, the more what you're going to manifest is to come into fruition. You can't just sit here and dream about having these 10 great clients that are going to make your business, but it's about taking inspired action to get the 10 clients. Where are the 10 clients hanging out? That's where you need to be, you know, whatever it is that, whatever your goal is, taking the inspired actions. And then really navigating the path, because the biggest thing that's keeping you from achieving the goals that you really want are lesser goals that come along that are easier to achieve that distract you. They talk about it as like the bright, shiny light syndrome, these things that are distracting you. Well, if you really want something big, you need to stay focused on that and not get distracted by these other things. Like one of the worst things are like taking these online classes and programs like, oh, I need to learn that. Well, do you need to learn that, or do you need to be doing something that's going to take you closer to having conversations with people and really meeting with your clients? So really navigating the path. And then the last thing is looking for your cues along the way. And like, what are some signs and signals that you're on the path? Like when people are receptive to your conversations, when you have these kind of meetings that are synchronicity at things that are happening, like you're thinking about someone and then you run into them, you're like, oh, you know, that's kind of a sign that the universe is aligning things in your path. So paying attention to those. So that's the destiny acronym, and that's how what we use in manifesting. Focusing on your desired destiny, focusing on your energy, watching out for the saboteurs so they don't interfere with you, using daily gratitude statements to stay on track, taking your inspired actions, not getting distracted by other things along the way, and watching for your cues.
Well, I hope this isn't too personal of a question, but I'm assuming you practice what you preach in this sense. So would you be able to share like the biggest thing you've ever been able to manifest when it comes to your business or life, whatever you want to share?
Well, I've manifested some really big things, I think, in my life. And one of the ones that I had originally done, which was business related, is I lived in San Francisco and I was in the financial services industry many years ago. And I spent a lot of time networking to meet people. And I thought that San Francisco didn't have like a big women's networking group. We just had all these little, like the accountants and the financial services, like they had all these different groups. And my vision was that we should have this really big women's networking group where all the little groups could come and meet new people and really grow from each other. And we could have a speaker. And I just had this great vision of what I really wanted to have happen. And I thought, oh, it should come through the Chamber of Commerce, because that would be the perfect place to have this women's networking group. And so I really, really thought about it. And then I went and talked to the Chamber about it. And they thought, why would women want to do that? They thought nothing about it. Like many other cities had this their women's group, but San Francisco, for some reason, was a little slow. So, but I just kept harboring at them that we really need to have this group. And I went around to all the different groups and talked to them about it, and they thought it was a really great idea. So I spent like 9 months really focusing and talking to them about it. And I finally got them to say, okay, well, all right, you can have a women's networking group and you can have this little room that held 50 people. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is a big thing. Like, I want this big space. So anyway, we finally were able to have it at the Sheraton Palace Hotel in San Francisco. We had on our first event, we had 250 women that came and all of these different groups that set up tables. And it was a huge success. And it ended up being the biggest group in the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce at the time. And it was exactly what I had and dreamed and envisioned about and took all the inspired action for. And I didn't let their ideas of having it be in some small room detract me from what I thought the real vision was. And that really came to fruition. So that was my biggest thing that I manifested on a work level. And on a personal level, I really had dreamed of my family moving to Paris and live in Paris for 2 years. And I spent a year really focusing on working on that and taking my inspired action and doing everything I needed to do and not listening to the saboteur in my head saying, why would you go and move to Paris? Like, what's the point? Well, the point was, you know, it would be kind of a fun adventure with my
Paris.
Kids.
Paris.
Moving to Paris and living there for 2 years. And it was really an awesome experience.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that just sounds so amazing. Well, I mean, it's funny because I feel like manifestation is such a buzzword these days. Like it's kind of not mainstream, but like it's more at the forefront than it used to be. But just hearing the concrete steps to do it, it's funny because earlier you said I'm not woo-woo or anything. That didn't make it seem woo-woo at all. It's very practical and something that everybody should be applying to your business. But for the people who, for whatever reason, aren't sold yet on it, which I don't understand why they wouldn't be, what are some common misconceptions you hear about it that you can kind of debunk right now just to get those stragglers over the edge?
Yeah, I mean, the common misperception is like it's a woo-woo thing and like it's not for everybody, like manifesting. It's just, I don't know, it's funny that it has this kind of a sort of a witchy connotation, but it's just taking what you really desire and really focusing on the steps that you need to accomplish that goal, but keeping it on the forefront of your mind. So like, you know, like when you're working on your goals, you need to review them every day. Well, that might be something that you're already doing, and that's part of the step of the process. I think the part that seems to be the most woo-woo is the aligning of your energy. And it's just when you have a positive energy and you're going forward for what you want to achieve, it's a lot easier than having to deal with this negative energy. So it's just getting rid of that negative energy, like who needs that, and focusing on the positive. And it's not just like Pollyanna positive things, but it's creating what the truth is. We all manifest all the time on a subconscious level. Like you're thinking about things and it happens. Like you think about a friend and then you run into her. We manifest all the time on a subconscious level. And what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to do, is get people to take it from the subconscious level onto the conscious level. So you're bringing about the things that you want in your life, making it really happen and directed. So you're not leaving it to chance. You're using the power and energy on a conscious level.
You know, I just want to say that not that I'm a huge fan, but I took a course with Tony Robbins, and you know, he's one of the least woo-woo people you'd ever want to meet, I would think. Just he doesn't come off as new age in any way, shape, or form, and it's not a far cry from what he recommends. He says to get up every morning and kind of pump yourself up and give yourself these affirmations and, you know, focus on, you know, talk about the goals you're going to achieve and what you're going to do that day and what you're going to do in the, you know, in the future. And so, I mean, it's just about getting your brain pointed in the right direction, right?
Right, right. And I think the hardest part for people is dealing with the saboteurs that are coming in, on recognizing the limiting beliefs, recognizing the people in their environment that are negative and bringing them down, recognizing how their environment is working against them. So I think in that part, working with a coach on this, it really helps them, because it can, a coach can really point out the things that are working against you.
Mm-hmm. Well, for what it's worth, I am... Earlier this year, a friend of mine had recommended this to me as well. And I put 8 things on my home screen of my phone that I really wanted, like that I really, really wanted. So it's, I mean, my phone's attached to me 24/7. So I was like, where's something that's going to be in front of me all the time that can just kind of reaffirm what I want to achieve? And my phone's next to me right now, and I was just looking at it. And since I put this on my phone, I have accomplished 5 of the 8 things on here.
When did you put it on your phone?
What?
When did you put it on your phone?
When? Probably April.
Cool.
Yeah. And it just, from little things like making sure my pantry always stays organized, or like closet, you know, just those little things, to I did this thing in Colorado Springs where I live. It's called the Incline, and it's a 1 mile straight up staircase. And it's not for the faint of heart. And I've done it twice now. So just little things that I'm like, I really want to make sure I master this. And some of them aren't big at all, but some of them are really important to me. And just always having it in front of me seems to have helped. So I'm very excited for this topic. And I told you that ahead of the call. And I'm really sad because we want to respect your time. We want to make sure we wrap up in a timely fashion. But Alicia, we ask our guests this all the time, and we want to know from you. You help people find success and be imposter syndrome and find their true potential. So we have to ask you, what is your favorite quote about success?
Well, the quote that stands out to me that has made a huge difference in my life is from Teddy Roosevelt. And I'm sure probably in my mind, I think everybody follows this quote because it's so amazing. But just to be in the arena, and don't be distracted by the audience who's not in the arena, the people who aren't playing the game. Don't let them and their negative energy impact you, but to be in the arena and to play full out.
Well, that will also be in the show notes for people that want more inspiration. And Alicia, this has been wonderful. If people want to learn more about you or manifestation, the topic, where can people find you?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Alicia_Berberich, and they can hear more about that. And then I have a 30-day manifesting email program that's free, that helps people to get into the habit of manifesting. So they get the email for 30 days to really build the habit of that. And you can sign up for that on from my Instagram, from the bio, the link in the bio on Instagram, or my website's at AliciaBerberich.com.
Great. And all of those will be in the show notes. Well, Alicia, thank you so, so much for coming on the show today. I really enjoyed it. I know our audience will as well. And again, it's a new topic, and I'm glad we touched on it. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.
And listeners, we will see you next week for another episode of the One Person Business Podcast. Have a good weekend.
You may be going solo in business, but that doesn't mean you're alone. In fact, millions of people are in your shoes, running a one-person business and figuring it out as they go. So why not connect with them and learn from each other's successes and failures? At LifeStar, we're creating a one-person business community where you can go to meet and get advice from other solopreneurs. Be sure to join in on the conversations at community.lifestar.com. That's community.lifestar with 2 R's.com.